All right. Good morning, everyone. I have a guest here with me today on this 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings in Normandy during World War II. I thought it was an important day for us to talk about it and remember, and thought it would be great to have my brother, Steve Tamburino, come in because he happens to be a student of history. He's been studying this World War II specifically for decades. He's a member of the U.S. Naval Institute. He's involved in World War II historical reenacting, and he also is a guest lecturer at some private schools in the area and has even brought these kids over to London, the U.K., and Normandy for school trips to educate them on this topic. So I thought, who better than to bring him in today to talk to us about this topic. Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Very good. It's a pleasure to be here, Rose. Thank you.
Great to have you. So I guess first and foremost, where were we at in the war on this day? Like, how far into the war are we? It's June 6, 1944.
Well, for us, we're about 3 years in. For the Europeans, they were in since 1939. So it'd been a while. Germany had swept through France and took over most of the European continent in 1940. So they had been building this, what they call the Atlantic Wall, that was going to face off against any American or Allied invasion, should it come. And they knew it would come, but they didn't know when.
So what happened on this day? Why is this day so important?
Well, this day is important primarily because this was when we were able to invade what they used to call Fortress Europe in Normandy. We invaded the area. The Allies invaded. There were five different landing beaches. They had code names of Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. There was over probably the largest fleet ever assembled, over 7,000 naval vessels from battleships and destroyers all the way down to the landing craft themselves that would carry the troops ashore. Plus, there were, you know, thousands of what were called airborne troops who parachuted in behind the lines the night before to secure the areas behind the beach so that the Americans and Allied forces could land.
And it was a successful day.
It was a successful thing.
Right.
It took a lot of effort.
And a lot of lives.
And a lot of lives.
Yeah.
You know, there were well over 4,000 Allied troops killed on the actual day. 2,500 mm-hmm. were Americans, and more than 5,000 were wounded.
Wow.
So it was a costly yeah. battle, costly invasion, but one that was very necessary.
So, of course, there had to be many, many, many heroic acts that happened over the course of this invasion. Are there any that stand out for you?
Well, there's a couple, probably ones that more people would know than, you know, if they even have a casual idea of the invasion. The first one would be the U.S. Rangers who assaulted a position called Point du Hoc. President Reagan gave a speech in 1984 from that area, honoring the men of the 2nd U.S. Ranger Battalion who climbed 100-foot cliffs. They used specially designed equipment. They were facing German forces who were basically firing down at them.
Wow.
So it was very, very heroic. And of course, they wouldn't think that way, but it was a heroic act. And when they got to the top, they were supposed to be guns there that were going to fire on the other two beaches, the American beaches, Utah and Omaha. When they got there, there were actually telephone poles because the Germans had pulled the guns out. But luckily, they did find them about a mile or so inland and were able to destroy them. But nevertheless, the men did not know this, and that's why it was a very important position to assault.
Wow.
The second one probably would be known if you've watched the HBO series Band of Brothers, which is on all the time, and you can get it on streaming. It follows the men of the Easy Company of the 101st Airborne Division, which landed on the night before. Specifically the assault on Braycourt Manor, which was done by Captain Dick Winters and basically the company, the Easy Company. On that day, they had to take out five guns that were actually firing on Utah Beach and killing and wounding men there as well. the assault on that, in that situation, the assault is actually a textbook case of an assault on a fixed position, and is actually still demonstrated at West Point today.
Hmm. That's great. You know, it's funny. So yeah, you mentioned the Band of Brothers. So maybe today, this weekend is a good time to, you know, pull that up on your streaming service and watch it. Good reminder for us all. I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of things out there if people are more interested to learn about this day, again, being probably the last anniversary milestone that there'll be any of the Greatest Generation still alive to tell us about it, you know, sadly. But I know in our area, there's some places too that people can go, right?
Yes. Actually, you can actually go to the National Purple Heart Hall of Honor Museum, which is located in New Windsor. And they have visual and audio records of thousands of men and women who got the Purple Heart, which is a honor that is given to wounded or killed individuals who died in combat. There were well over 5,000 who received that medal on that day alone. So you can go in there. There's no specific exhibit for D-Day, but you can go in there and you could hear them in their own words, many cases in their own words, great. What they did and how they felt. And that's probably the most important thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in and giving us a little bit of a history lesson on this very important day, the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion at Normandy. Thanks so much, Steve Tamburino.
You're very welcome. Thank you.